My name is Dave. If you don't already know who I am, I'm part of the team here. I get to look after our youth and young adults. And I'm really happy to be bringing us God's Word today in our Origin Story series. And kind of like the last time I was up here, I was like, I do love those origin stories. And just over a week ago, I was listening to a podcast I really like. Podcasts are cool. And it shared on the origin stories of chocolate. It's like the history of chocolate. So like several of my favorite things coming together all in one place. And who knew that so many religious Quaker folks communities had to do with why we have hot chocolate and chocolate bars like we do today. That's just awesome. Origin story, chocolate, amazing. Now, if we're honest, getting to the roots of things is actually something quite amazing. It can actually give us so much, a deeper understanding, an appreciation, and even deeper relationships. Something fun we do in youth almost every time we have a special guest come in to share on life and faith is to ask this question. So what's your name, full name, and is there any significance to any part of your name? And most people are a little embarrassed to answer this question, but it's a really helpful thing to dig down. Who is this person? Now, maybe that person was named after their grandmother's cat. We don't know, but this is a way we get to know them. And over the years, I've actually personally shared my own name, all the bits and pieces of my name, and all the details about it. Just for fun, I'm going to do that with you now. So, as you know, my first name is Dave, right? But you'd probably kind of go, okay, probably David. That's his actual given name, right? And David, it's a Bible name. What? Pretty good, right? It's the greatest earthly king of God's people. And so you might assume I was named after that David. And I was, sort of. So, fun fact, my parents, not Christians, and very artsy. And so I was actually named after the statue of Michelangelo's David. So I'm named after a naked guy in Italy. So that might be a bit embarrassing, right? A bit embarrassing. But it's actually really interesting. It's actually a piece of my history. It's this artistic representation of this beloved leader of God's people. And you know what? I can own that. I can actually own that. I'm not the original, right? But also, like in the Bible, David is a man after God's own heart, and that's what I want to be too. And if you didn't know already, David, in Hebrew, translated, is beloved. Oh, that's pretty cool, right? Now, what if we, today, were to ask this same question of God himself? What is your name, and is there any significance to any part of it? What might we learn? What are the origins of God's name? What might that name reveal to us? Well, as you could probably guess, too much, way too much. But what I thought what we'd do with our time together is dig in to the origin of the name of God in just two ways. The first way is to get just basic, very basic, very basic. If someone was just kind of curious about God, maybe even not a Christian, what's so important about God having a specific name? So what's your name, God? What is going on with your name? And secondly, perhaps if I am a Christian, maybe even for a while, what does really knowing and engaging with the name of God have to do with my life? What does this name mean to me? So today, we're going to look at the clearest example in the Bible of God revealing his name. And it was to Moses early in the Exodus story. And then we're going to briefly look at how Jesus actually reveals his name in the very same kind of way in John chapter 8. So, friends, if you have a Bible or a Bible app, I would encourage you to open your Bibles, your Bible apps, to Exodus chapter 3. And when you find that, would you stand with me as we read from Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see what this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is who you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Now, as I said, this is one of the clearest passages in the Bible of God revealing himself, particularly revealing his name. Now, even before we jump into the passage, we should understand that names in the Bible are actually significant. Just like my parents didn't name me like trash can, they named me instead David, which means beloved, right? Now, in our passage, we meet Moses. Many years after he's left the house of Pharaoh in Egypt, or really actually has run from Egypt, fleeing for his life like a criminal. He is a lowly shepherd tending his father-in-law's flocks, not even his flocks, right, in the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere. Even in the Bible days, this is the middle of nowhere. This is where God chooses to reveal himself to Moses. In this series of beautiful moments, God calls Moses to himself. So on this wilderness mountain in the middle of nowhere, Moses encounters God himself. Amazed and curious with a burning bush that isn't consumed by fire, Moses kind of draws near. And as he draws near, God calls to Moses by name. Notice this, by name. God speaks. Now Moses responds by making himself available in humbleness. Here I am. As Moses humbles himself, not truly knowing who this is, God creates this holy boundary, space set apart. And appropriately, Moses takes off his sandals like a servant. This voice begins to reveal who he is, God of Moses' people, and to reveal why he is calling Moses to himself. He is the God of these people, hearing their prayer and seeing their slavery in Egypt. And as Moses covers his face before God and hears this mission to rescue God's people, he asks two questions. This is really helpful for us. God, who are you? God, who are you? What is your name? What should I tell the leaders of your people? Second question, who am I? Who am I to do this impossible task of going to Pharaoh? So who are you? We're going to kind of look at these two questions. Who are you? And as we begin there, we're going to create this foundation and understanding of the origins of God's name. And then after, we're going to look at the question of who am I? So who are you? Starting in verse 13, Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to tell the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. I am. What is your name? Like many of us, especially when we first hear about God or come to church or meet a Christian, we're curious. Maybe doubting, but wondering, who is this God you're talking about? And I think some of the same questions are going on in Moses' mind. He's curious, amazed, perhaps a bit confused. And I'm so grateful that Moses had the courage to ask questions. I don't know if I would. He had the courage to ask questions, even though he was clearly hiding his face before this awesome God. Verse 13 again, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. They ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. I am. You might think this is a strange answer from God, but contained in this is absolutely incredible, so much. And it isn't just something you might call God, say, hi, I am. It's not just something you would call God. It's actually a description of who he is, his character, and his very being. Now, one of my favorite movies is a movie called The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Some of you may have seen it, some of you don't care. It's a great movie. It's a very sweet and funny movie. Basically, the movie's about the perfect cover picture to the last issue of Life magazine. I don't know if you know Life magazine. It's a kind of a magazine all about life and history and people, right? And they're looking for this picture that summarizes everything about this magazine. As I said, life and history and people. And they call this cover that they want to have, this very last cover, the quintessence. It's the ultimate or essential nature. And the whole movie plot is basically the search for this quintessence picture. Now, the Lord God gives us the quintessence of who he is in his name. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is who you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And he says, this is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. God declares his name. And in a sense, is both a verb, I am, right, to be, right, I am, and a noun, which we most often translate from Yahweh, which is the letters of I am, as Lord. So verb and noun. Now, I'm not going to pretend there isn't a mystery here, that I get all this. There's some very clear things we can know about God's name, and maybe some things we aren't actually capable of fully understanding. Who is God? I am. And I am is just a little too great to contain in one sermon. Now, if we're curious, about God and wanting to know more, here's one clear thing. The expression I am, using the verb or to be or exist, says that God just is. He is, and he was, and has always been. He is eternal and unchangeable. He just is. His name means he exists in and of himself. You and I are dependent on biology and history and parents and circumstances and environment and chemistry and physics and so on and on and on and on. We're dependent. God, I am, is claiming no dependence, no derivative. Life and power and origin and character and stability and truth, completely self-sustaining, sufficient, enough, perfect and complete. The quintessence or perfect symbol of this is actually in the burning bush. What? Yeah, take a look at this with me. Exodus 3:2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? Most of us know that fire consumes and destroys, right? Not so with I am. Fire that is sufficient to itself, light and power and beauty, and yet also overwhelming and impossible. What might it mean for us that God is I am? He just is. Perhaps the holy ground tells us that God is set apart, not like us. I am is awesome in wonder and glory. And perhaps it means that we cannot define I am, but have to allow the Lord himself to reveal himself. Now, unlike the myths and gods of those and these days, I am is not like humans, petty and mean, created a creature. I am is not created, but creator, the source of being existing. The eternal I am does not need humanity, even to do the rituals and spiritual activities, but humanity needs I am, who shows humanity the way to himself and invites us into worship and prayer to know him. So before we move on to our second point, I want to note for us, especially those who have a curiosity about God, maybe even some doubts, I'd love for us to notice this. When Moses asks God, God answers. Just stop and think about that for a moment. If God, this I am, is holy and set apart, all-powerful, this eternal being, completely underived, fully self-sufficient, really perfect, why would I am answer? Because God wants to reveal himself to Moses, to you and to me. And for us, on a beautiful day like today, we might see God's handiwork in creation. The sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the animals, even ourselves. And yes, there is mystery to a holy and perfect God, but the Lord I am wants to be known. And so as God calls Moses through curiosity and wonder, and yes, humility, God speaks and reveals. God answers. God loves. God acts. So are you curious, even with doubts? If we ask, like Moses, who are you? What is your name? Listen to what God will tell you. I am who I am, the Lord. Our second very important question in our passage is, who am I? And this isn't mainly an identity question, like, I don't know who I am, I'm confused. it is a great question to ask, who am I, right? To know our identity. And although it is kind of answered a little bit in this passage, Moses is mostly asking the question of, who am I to do the big things you are asking? I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just a shepherd on a hill in the middle of nowhere. Now this who am I question is fantastic for anyone, but especially for Christians, because it is rooted in that origin, that essence, the name and character of God. Let's look at Exodus 3, starting at verse 5. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Yeah. When Moses feels overwhelmed, incapable, and unable, God reveals that I am God reveals these things from this powerful passage. I am Savior, just loving and listening. I am with you, present and with purpose. God, I am, the Lord, is Savior, the one who rescues. God, I am, is the hero, not Moses, not you or I. God is the one who sees his precious people. God is the one who hears the cries of his people. God is the one who knows the suffering of his people. So, very importantly, God is the one to save and redeem his people. God is the one to provide new life and land for his people. In this, can you hear the heart of God, I am? The context of God revealing his glorious name, I am the Lord, is for the purpose of love, for the purpose of gathering his people, is for the purpose of salvation. So attached to the very name of the Lord is the heart of salvation, love and rescue to come and worship. He says to Moses, verse 10, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God saves, but God also sends. He sets apart Moses and sends him. He calls Moses to know him, his name, and his purpose. Over and over in the Bible, God calls and he sends. Abraham and Jacob and David and Elijah and Jeremiah and on. This is beautiful. It's powerful. It's also, like for Moses, impossible, intimidating, even terrifying. Who am I? This is a really legitimate question. And Moses has plenty of excuses, which we hear. And we too could come up with tons of excuses not to be sent by God into our workplaces, our homes, our communities, even Christian friendships. Excuses not to be sent by God to serve in the church or on the downtown East Side or in China or Uganda or the local high school. Because our passage points to the Lord who is overwhelmingly glorious and holy and seems to demand the impossible at times, the gift that we receive is the same as the one Moses does. Who am I? We could ask God. And what does I am the Lord answer? Listen to these answers. Verse 12. And God said, I will be with you. And this is a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And in verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. The Lord who sends Moses, the I am, is present with Moses. And that's the key reality. Moses is not alone or helpless. You and I are not alone or helpless. I will be with you. I am with you. The Lord has sent me to you. So when Moses asks this question, we too can ask this question. Who am I? If you might call yourself a question, maybe the better question is actually, who am I with? Or perhaps better grammatically, who is with me? I think this is really interesting. Who is with me? Do you notice how God first starts speaking to Moses? Do you notice this? Verse 6. Then he said, I am the God of your father. Not the God of your fathers, which he says later. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God gets actually really personal, and then he gets really covenantal. He says to Moses, I am the God of your mom and dad. I'm the God your mom and dad know and love. I know and love your family. They belong to me just as you do. And for many of us who've grown up as Christians, this is incredibly beautiful. God loves the family. He loves your family, even when you find it hard. God has been with your family all along, leading them to himself, generation after generation. The Lord, the great I am, loves and saves our families. And the Lord also says to Moses, I'm the same God of covenant and love and promises for Abraham, for Isaac, and for Jacob, whose family now suffers in slavery in Egypt. This is the God of eternal faithfulness and impossible promises of blessing and love and fruitfulness. Listen to the Lord's faithfulness and guarantee of his promises. Verse 12. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And if you read through the Exodus story, this is exactly what happens. Because Mount Horeb, we also believe, has got another name, Mount Sinai. And then in verse 18, the elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey to the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not go, let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And this is exactly what happens. God's word is trustworthy and true because what he says happens. He is faithful. This is the God who is with us. So as we ask these two big questions of the origin, of the name of God. Who are you? I am. Who am I? I am with you. These origins root us for a reason. Because as we move into the New Testament, the disciples, the crowds, the religious leaders ask the very same question of Jesus. Who are you? Who are you? Perhaps you've heard in the New Testament, Jesus answers this question. And you hear names like Messiah, Christ, Son of God, Son of Man. And like in our Exodus 3 passage, one of the clearest places Jesus answers this very same question of Moses, this who are you, is in John chapter 8. And even up to this point in John chapter 8, Jesus has done extraordinary things and claimed extraordinary things about himself, healing and casting out demons, claiming a unique relationship with his heavenly Father. And this has brought him into this conflict with the religious leaders who can't believe he could be Messiah, the promised Savior, because he didn't fit their categories or even agree with them. Listen with me to John chapter 8, starting at verse 54. Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me, makes me great. Though you do not know him, I know him." Just listen to that. "If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he was glad." Seems like an odd passage. Jesus is telling these leaders, these religious folks, that Abraham, thousands of years ago, was somehow able to rejoice in the coming of Jesus. That Jesus was the promise of God fulfilled. And here it probably means that Jesus brings the fulfillment of blessing and salvation and the covenant love of God. And the religious leaders reply that, "Jesus, you're not even 50. How could you possibly know or experience Abraham's joy?" Right? They're just kind of, they don't get what he's talking about. Then listen to Jesus' response. "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. That's the same language of Lord, Yahweh, I am. Jesus is saying, "I am the I am, eternal, self-sufficient love and power and promise and glory and holiness of God." Jesus is saying, I am the Lord. And don't miss this. The religious leaders catch that. They hear him very clearly saying, "I am the Lord." At this, in verse 59, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. So there's no doubts here what the people thought he said. So I leave this with you. This Easter, can we ask Jesus like we do in our youth group? Ask Jesus this. What is your full name? And is there any significance to any part of it? I invite you to be curious and encouraged to ask Jesus and see how he answers. And I do pray that you will see how his life and death and resurrection prove he is who he says he is. I am the Lord. As we ask, who are you? Jesus. And as we said, the Bible takes names very significantly. Did you know that Jesus' name means God saves? Who are you? Jesus. God saves. Who are you? I am the Lord God saves. Who saves. So in this this season, our youth has actually been doing a Youth Alpha series. And some of the very first sessions ask this question, Jesus, who is he? Jesus, who is he? And also, why did he die? What a great time just before Easter to be asking these questions. Jesus, who is he? I wonder this Easter if you could invite someone into those questions. God, who are you? God, who am I? Maybe invite someone who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe just into a conversation. Maybe into some hospitality to show what it is like to live a Christian life. Or perhaps the hospitality here at Dunbar to invite them to Easter at Dunbar. And wouldn't that be just a little like Moses being sent to bring the good news of salvation? That God is a God who saves. Our God who is the one who is with us. So this Easter, I wonder if we can ask these questions. Jesus, who are you in the garden? Jesus, who are you at the trial? Jesus, who are you on the cross? Jesus, who are you on the third day in the empty tomb on Easter morning? Jesus, who are you? And I would love to pray for us. And remember this, as we pray in the name of God, the name of Jesus, there is actually the power and presence of God himself in that name. As we pray, we're actually coming under that name. So I invite us under the name of the great I Am. Jesus, we pray that you would increase our curiosity and questions. That you would move in us to know you deeply. That you would be with us powerfully. O great I Am, save us in Christ. Thank you for your perfect love. Lord, send us in the power of your Holy Spirit that we may be like Moses and your people called to worship you, to serve you. And we pray this in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.